It's time for Kennedy for Alabama, a political talk show where we discuss the real issues impacting our sweet home, Alabama. Your calls, comments, and texts are welcome at 251-343-0106.
I love this country as much, if not more, than you do. And don't you ever forget that.
And now your host, Robert Kennedy Jr.
TGIF. Thank God it's Friday. Good evening to the FM Talk 106.5 listening audience. My name is Robert Kennedy Jr., and this is Kennedy for Alabama. Thank you so much for tuning in to our episode on Friday, the 29th of January, 2021. We are really excited about tonight's program, so let's get to it. Tonight, we have four fantastic members of this evening's conversation team. The first is Ms. Aquilin Kennedy.
Hey, everyone.
Executive producer and chief brand strategist. The second joining us in studio is Representative Napoleon Bracey, Alabama State Representative for House District 98.
Thanks so much for inviting me.
Joining us by phone is Ms. Zoe Zegers, who is president of the Bay Area Young Democrats. And last, but no wise least, is Mr. Phil Bush.
Hey.
Who is actually waving at everyone and working the production board in order to keep us sounding good on the airwaves. Yeah. So, how is everyone doing tonight?
Excellent.
Fantastic.
Going great.
Really good.
All right. So, Aquilin, tell me something good.
You know, today, not just today, this week was one of the biggest weeks of some people's lives. And in a good way and a bad way, the Reddit rally. If you don't know about it, look it up. It was really something, and we're about to see some very interesting changes coming forward.
You know, during the midday show earlier today, and even in Mobile Mornings, the team has here at FM Talk 106.5 has been talking about that quite a bit. It is quite a fascinating thing for those of you who are interested in the stock market. So now for the agenda. In the top half of the hour, we'll do a Meet Your Legislator spotlight with Representative Bracey and discuss legislative priorities for 2021. In the bottom half of the hour, we'll do a quick citizen spotlight with Ms. Zoe Zegers and discuss the political issues of the week. Now for the headlines. The first headline comes from the Trustville Tribune. It reads, Tuscaloosa PD putting focus on mental health. It was written by Erica Thomas and published on January 21st, 2021. The second headline comes from WKRG News 5. It reads, MPD identifies man killed in officer-involved shooting. It was published on January 27th, 2021. The third headline is from the Montgomery Advertiser. It reads, Three Things to Watch as the Alabama Legislature Returns on Tuesday. It was written by Brian Lyman and published today, January 29th, 2021. So with that, I will look to my left and once again welcome Representative Napoleon Bracey. Hey, thank you so much for coming to visit us in studio. How are you doing today?
I'm doing great. Thank you so much for inviting me over today.
Yeah, this is actually an interview that has been running through my head for a while for the FM Talk 106.5 listening audience. Representative Bracey is my representative in House District 98. And when I first started my political career here in 2017, when very few people would even take my phone call, Representative Bracey was one of the first ones to answer the phone and provide me with a little bit of insight. So for that, I will forever be thankful.
Thank you.
So let's start off with this. Why don't you tell the audience just a little bit about yourself, you know, where you grew up, where you went to church, where you went to school, et cetera, et cetera.
Okay. I grew up in Pritchard, off of Pritchard Lane.
Okay.
Went to public school all my life. Graduated from Blount High School in 1995.
Mm-hmm.
Graduated from Dillard University in New Orleans in 2000, so I'm a product of HBCU.
Indeed.
Grew up in a Baptist church.
Mm-hmm.
Currently, my family and I are members of Bethesda Christian Center.
Okay.
This is a little bit about myself. I work for Austin USA, a defense contractor here in Mobile.
Okay.
So, you know, being a legislator is only a part of it.
Indeed.
It's really a part-time position. It's a full-time part-time position.
Exactly.
But we also have, you know, our day jobs as well.
And I think that's one of the things that's important when distinguishing state legislature from the federal legislature. At the federal level, it is truly a full-time job. That's what you're doing all the time. But you guys are only doing it, at least officially, on the clock for pay a certain amount of time. Is that correct?
Correct. It's session is usually about 105 days.
Okay.
And anything after that would be considered a special session. With this year being the type of year that it is with COVID, we definitely know that we're going to have a special session. We have to deal with new prisons being built in
indeed,
the state.
Indeed.
And also redistricting. You know, we had the census last year, and, you know, every time the census takes place every 10 years, then the legislature has to come in and draw new legislative districts for House and Senate, congressional districts, state school board districts.
That's right.
So all of those things have to be done this year.
Oh, wow. So that's a whole lot of stuff that has to get done in a relatively short amount of time. Hey, before we start diving into the specifics, just take a little bit of time to explain to the audience what your district is. What comprises House District 98?
House District 98 is kind of like an L shape.
Okay.
I tell people all the time, you can start in the Trinity Gardens area and just take the interstate going north. And then take Highway 43 north to Washington County. And if you think about it kind of in that sense, so you have like the Pritchard, Whistler, 8 Mile area.
Mm-hmm.
You have some of Chickasaw, Saraland, Satsuma, Criolla, Axis, Mount Vernon.
Gotcha.
Like I'm probably one of the legislators that have more cities than anybody else. And also City of Mobile. Part of City of Mobile is in my district. So it's kind of like an L shape, just following the interstate.
Okay. Well, thank you for that. It's one of the things that's interesting about gerrymandering,
right?
For better or for worse, is that you end up with some very interesting shapes of who all is represented by the same people. So thank
definitely.
You.
Definitely. In the way that you can always tell that is you have split precincts. And when you have split precincts, people will say, well, how is it that I vote at this location and you're my representative and this person votes at the same location and they have to vote on a totally different ballot?
Oh, wow.
And part of it is because of exactly what you're talking about, gerrymandering and splitting districts.
Oh, wow. Yeah, that is kind of crazy. Well, thank you for explaining that to me. One more question before we get into some of the nuts and bolts of the legislative session is how did you decide that you wanted to, you know, be in public life and kind of what went into that decision-making process?
Actually, man, it was, you know, everybody has a story about, you know, how they decided to run for public office.
Mm-hmm.
I met my beautiful wife when I moved back down here. I moved back to Mobile probably in 2002.
Okay.
So I met her in the fall of 2002. And when I came back, my father passed in 2002.
Sorry to hear that.
I was just trying to figure out how I can come back, take care of my mom, make the community better. And one thing that I noticed, the area where I grew up was a lot worse than it was when I left.
Indeed.
And what started to happen, a lot of the senior citizens that attend my church and from my community started kind of pulling my coattail and said, well, you've been off to college. You've learned some things.
Mm-hmm.
You've seen some things. Now you're back. Why won't you step up and help us?
Exactly.
And that's kind of how the situation happened. So they had a Pritchard City Council meeting at First Baptist Church of Pritchard. They used to have like one every month in the community.
Right.
And I asked the then sitting city council member if he would help me to form a community cleanup. And he wouldn't do it. He looked at me kind of like I was just a kid. I was 23 years old.
Right.
Just go sit down. I got this. He kind of brushed me off to the side. And I just always tell people, if he would have just picked up the trash, I never would have even ran for public office.
Right.
He was just not willing to work with me. And the older citizens just kept applying pressure like, we need help. We need help. What are you going to do?
Mm-hmm.
And that's just kind of how I ended up stepping out there in the first place.
Indeed. Indeed. And I know you have a very popular hashtag that is very simple in nature, and I believe it is results matter.
Correct.
So if you want to get the trash cleaned in your community and the folks who are sitting in a chair won't help you, you definitely got to get results on your own. So thank you for giving us that little bit of background there.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
So now let's talk a little bit about the legislative session, right, and the mechanics of, you know, we're not always in session, clearly. So what's kind of happening as you run up to session, and then what would we expect to happen once session is convened here next week?
Okay. Well, we had budget hearings this week. Got back from Montgomery last night. We were presented information from different state agencies for the education side and also the general fund side.
Mm-hmm.
We're going through different things now with COVID protocols.
That's right.
We're all coming in very early Tuesday morning. Everyone is going to get tested. We kind of go through that process.
Okay.
We have new books now, Microsoft Surface tablets that we can vote from different locations. So we're going to have to do things a lot different than we have in the past.
So I've been hearing a lot discussed about, you know, what's required kind of constitutionally in terms of y'all being, you know, co-located in the same geographical area, being balanced against whether or not you're in the same room or whether you're in the office or somewhere that's proximate to the Capitol proper. What's the plan as it exists right now with mm-hmm. all that good stuff?
Well, what the plan is right now is 57 members will be in the chamber, socially distanced.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, we have for listeners that may not know the makeup, we have a 105-member body.
Okay.
So 57 will be like dividing that in half.
Mm-hmm.
So that will take half of the membership out.
Right.
About half of those that are removed will be in the gallery. For anybody that's ever been to the State House, it's a gallery where like the visitors, lobbyists, people like that sit.
Right.
And then we have two overflow rooms. So everybody will kind of be spread out, but in the same geographical area between the fifth and the sixth floor. And the sixth floor will be closed off only for legislators as well. Now, the Senate, being a 35-member body,
mm-hmm.
they will operate somewhat close to normal.
I see.
Because
I see.
They can always social distance with that few people. But the way we're set up, we have to do it a little bit different.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you for explaining that. You know, it's interesting because everyone has, you know, the rumor mills and the conspiracy theorists and all that stuff about people not being in the same area and somebody being able to hack somebody's vote because some of the stuff you're doing electronically and stuff like that.
No, I don't think I really don't think that's going to happen
mm-hmm.
Because the way it's divided, some of your team members will be in these different areas.
Oh, okay.
So it's not like, you know, it's not a situation where I just don't think that's going to happen.
Okay. Well, thank you for that clarification and that level of confidence. So now getting a little bit closer to some nuts and bolts. So you said y'all were doing some budget pre-work
mm-hmm.
this week. So what kind of came out of the work that you did this week, and how does it relate to what happens next week?
It's just kind of pretty interesting. One of the things that we've learned is we have to invest more into our mental health for the state.
Okay.
We have to create an environment where the Department of Pardons and Parole can work more closely in line with the Department of Corrections. We have more state troopers on the street.
Okay.
State troopers
yes.
are going to start actually providing security in the Capitol now. And in the State House.
Okay.
And a lot of that is because of the civil unrest that happened on mm-hmm. January 6th.
Right.
We're trying to figure out ways to make sure that we can give our teachers raises and our retirees.
Indeed.
So it's kind of like everybody presents what they would like to see their budget for the year.
Okay.
And on Tuesday, when the governor does the State of the State, she will present her budget.
Okay.
And then we would take those budgets. The general fund budget will start in the House, and the education budget will start in the Senate. And that way we'll just kind of work through them. I don't think they're going to be rushed through. I think it's going to be a very patient process this year.
Okay. Well, you said a couple of things that resonated with me. The first one, which when you talked about mental health in the community, it's interesting. I've been fortunate and blessed, and I know Aquilin has as well because she's had the opportunity to interview a number of these people on air, is whether it's the Mobile Police Chief, the Pritchard Police Chief, the Director of Public Safety, or even the Sheriff, whenever we talk to them, when we talk about the number of people who are entering the criminal justice system, it is amazing how many times each of those individuals have referred to the mental health issue.
Mm-hmm.
And it seems like because mental health focus has shifted, you know, with the closure of Searcy and stuff like that, for example, that there are a lot of people who end up having to be addressed through law enforcement. that may be more appropriately addressed through some of the mental health resources. So it's good to hear you guys are kind of focusing on that.
Right.
So with that, let's talk a little bit about you and a little bit about your priorities as it pertains to the district. And I know that you guys, at least here in Mobile County, do a very good job of working together collaboratively for things that end up helping the district. What are your priorities?
Okay, I'm happy that you mentioned that because, of course, it's a lot of give and take. And I've been fortunate enough to be the co-chair of the Mobile County Legislative Delegation. And, you know, we work very close with the Baldwin delegation as well. And what we've done is we've asked for support for people outside of these districts to help out. And what we're really pushing for the governor and for LDOT to do, and this is my number one priority issue for local for this session, is to try to get Highway 45 four-lane from Pritchard all the way.
Yes.
That is the number one priority for me right now going into this session. Now, I know we have statewide issues that we have to deal with. Of course, we have prisons, Medicaid expansion, raising minimum wage. You know, we have the issues that are always out there. We have COVID relief issues. We have issues for trying to make sure that citizens don't have to pay taxes on the CARES Act money that they receive. So we have a lot to deal with. But as far as something local, I think that's going to be the ticket to try to give a springboard for the Pritchard economy and the Centennial economy. It can really help those communities along Highway 45.
You know, it's interesting because I think it's the drive up to Tuscaloosa. So you go up Highway 45. You'll go through the state of Alabama, and then you'll hit the Mississippi state line.
It's totally
different.
And
then all of a sudden, it's wide open, and it's nice and paved and stuff like that. And it's interesting because we have a lot of issues, particularly on the left and the right, that we end up, you know, debating philosophically because we come to those issues with a different perspective. But when you start talking about infrastructure and the impact that infrastructure can have when it comes to jump-starting subsequent economic development – this is almost a no-brainer.
Right.
And I'll even go one step further. And in addition to the widening that you're talking about, you know, my advocacy would be to essentially the complete renovation starting at Spring Hill Avenue and going all the way through where the expansion needs to happen a little bit north of the city. So, well, cool. Well, thank you for that. One of the things that I find that people ask about quite a bit is the legacy issues of the bridge and the bayway. So the measure that went up and was ultimately tabled here last year or a little bit before that. Are you hearing anything about that as a potential issue that may come up relatively soon?
No, I'm not. It has been some conversation recently, and you're going to hear a little bit more about it with the Mobile municipal elections coming up. But to be honest with you, I gave them an out. You know, I've learned from one of the best, Representative Buskey.
Indeed.
had an opportunity to work under his tutelage for a long time, and they voted against it. And what I did, they had the bill up to be voted on, and I introduced an amendment that would only put a toll on visitors that are passing through and would exempt all Mobile and Baldwin County residents from having to pay a toll at all.
Really?
And that would have still provided the funding necessary to build a bridge. But the sponsor of the bill carried over the amendment, and then they kind of ended up being in a crossfire with the residents and everything. But I think if they just would have taken up that amendment, then I think it would have been a situation that people can live with, because we all know when we travel these highways, a lot of times we'll get a letter or something back in the mail a week or two later with your tag on it. Then we just pay that toll.
Right.
Well, if it's only for people that pass through and not for the Mobile Baldwin residents, I think that would have been very beneficial. And you can look back on the record and see, I mean, it fell only by a few votes. So if it ever come up again, I would try to push that issue again, because I definitely don't think that burden should be on the residents of this community. But I do think that Bayway Bridge is needed.
Yeah, it's interesting. We Auckland and I spend a lot of time on both sides of the bay, And, you know, you can have days where, you know, you're crossing, you know, four times if you have to be over there twice a day for something. And so if you think about a Mobile-based business or a Baldwin County-based business that would have to cross that often and have tolls every time, you could see where that would become obsessive over time. Right. Whereas with us having such a well-defined and robust tourism industry and being where we are geographically, it would be good to take advantage of some of those out-of-state travelers.
Right. And we would have also still had alternative routes.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, that would have just been the cost for traveling on that particular bridge, but you still would have been able to take the causeway and wouldn't have to pay that toll. So the options were out there. Nothing was in stone or concrete.
Right.
But options were definitely out there. And speaking of that, I know you spent a lot of time in Baldwin as well. We think the widening of Highway 45 will really make a difference as far as people from other states coming in and just giving them
absolutely.
An alternate route mm-hmm. to get to the beaches and things like that to help out. You know, I think that'll be a real benefit to us.
Absolutely. So I want to hit one more issue. We got about 3 minutes left in the segment. And let's talk just a little bit about COVID, right? So from your perspective, you know, what are the priorities with that? I know you do a very good job of keeping us informed through your social media presence as to what's right. happening. But what are your priorities going into the session with regards to COVID-19?
Well, the first priority is making sure that people don't have to pay state taxes on the CARES Act money that they receive, whether mm-hmm. it's individuals or businesses.
Right.
The second thing is we need to make sure that businesses are not held liable for people, you know, catching COVID. We mm-hmm. need to make COVID be one of those things that need to be like a socially responsible, individualized thing.
Right.
Right. And also, we need to just make sure that the vaccine rollout happens as smooth as possible and that as many people as possible that can have access have it. You know, today we drop the number down to 65, the age.
Oh, okay. 65. Okay, yes.
So now it's 65. School teachers can receive the vaccine now.
Okay.
Daycare workers, grocery store workers, manufacturers, people that work in agriculture.
Indeed, indeed.
The judges, legislators. Like, it's now is the reach has been extended, and now we just have to get more
Good.
Vaccine in the area. I mean, I've actually... I took the vaccine on Wednesday.
Yes, I remember seeing the picture of that.
So, you know, I'm very proud of it. I believe in science. I think that's something that we've prayed for.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't take it to try to convince other people to take it. I took it because I felt like it was the thing that I needed to do for me and my family and the
Indeed.
Community that I have to serve. Like,
right.
I don't need to be on the sidelines. I need to be in the fight for my community. And this is, you know, one way I think I can remain in the fight.
I was going to say results matter, right?
Right.
All right. So we're here at the last minute. If anyone's listening who wants to get in contact with you, what would be the best way for them to do that?
Okay. You can always reach me at napoleon@napoleonbracy.com. That's my email. You can call our office at 251-208-5480. You can reach me on Facebook at Napoleon Bracy. You can reach me on Twitter at Hip Hop State Rep.
Yeah, I actually love that that tagline when I saw it for the first time. So, Representative Bracy, my representative for House District 98, thank you so much for spending a little bit of time with us and providing us with this legislative update. And we'll be keeping track of you. If there's anything we can do to help you out, just please let us know.
Thank you so much, and thanks for the opportunity for allowing me to be here. And just remember, results matter.
Indeed, indeed. So for the listening audience, we are just about to go into the bottom half of the hour break. We have spent this first part of the show talking to Representative Napoleon Bracy. And when we come back on the other side of the break, we will get a little bit of political commentary from Ms. Zoe Zegers. So stay tuned to Kennedy for Alabama.
It's time for Kennedy for Alabama, a political talk show where we discuss the real issues impacting our sweet home, Alabama. Your calls, comments, and texts are welcome at 251-343-0106.
I love this country as much, if not more, than you do, and don't you ever forget that.
And now your host, Robert Kennedy Jr.
And welcome back to Kennedy for Alabama. My name is Robert Kennedy Jr. and I am your host this evening. For those of you who are just joining us, during the first half of the program, we spent a very informative half hour talking to Representative Napoleon Bracey from House District 98, talking a little bit about what his individual priorities are for the district, as well as overall priorities for the Mobile County and Baldwin County areas. So a big shout out and thanks to him for spending time with us. So now we're going to go to the phone lines, and we are going to see if we have our second guest on. Hello, you're on the line with Kennedy for Alabama.
Hi, Bobby. Thanks so much for having me. I'm delighted to be here.
Hey, Zoe, it is good to hear your voice. How have you been?
I've been doing well, mostly just, you know, being holed up. I'm happy the weather is starting to turn, and in my neighborhood, all the went for a walk today, and all the houses have Mardi Gras decorations, so even though Mardi Gras won't be the same this year, it's still nice to see people being festive and getting excited.
Yeah, it's just like we will find a way to celebrate, even if we cannot do it the way that we have done it in the past.
Exactly.
So, hey, take a little bit of time and tell the listening audience just a little bit about yourself and how you ended up here in Mobile, Alabama, and then kind of what you're doing with the Bay Area Young Democrats.
Sure. My name is Zoe Zagers. I actually grew up, I'm a Yankee. I grew up in Connecticut in the suburbs of New York City. And then I moved down to Mobile in 2017, so about 4 years now, for a job, like many young people right out of college. I work as a chemical engineer in Mobile. So that's what I do for my day job. But the rest of my time I work for the Bay Area Young Democrats. I've been the president since 2018, so about three years now. Just about. And so for those who don't know, Bay Area Democrats is the Young Democrat organization for Mobile and Baldwin County. And our main mission and our goal is to inform and engage young people in the political process. So a lot of our, in the past, we used to do lots of events at local restaurants and bars, and really trying to build that social community around, you know, talking about issues that are really important to young people. And for me, what I think is the most critical is bringing the political process and bringing access to the political process. So bringing in local leaders, just like you just had Representative Bracey in, so people can actually ask questions. I find, especially for young people, it's really opaque to understand what's happening in your local government and your state government.
Oh, indeed. Indeed.
It's like, for me, it's hard. And I'm like, wow, it's so hard for me. And I am really involved and really trying to get all the information. So I just view it as my mission to put in the word for other people who maybe don't even realize where to look. So that's kind of the main thing. And then the other component, you know, is doing political activism. So a lot of focus on voter restoration and voter registration. You know, 2020 was obviously an election year, so it was
yes.
Very busy, although not my entire plan for 2020 that I'd worked on in like January obviously went out the window with COVID, so we had a change of course. But
one of the things I thought was really good about what the Bay Area Young Democrats did was the way that they provided a platform for candidates to be able to get their messages out, you know, very similar to the mission that we had here at Kennedy for Alabama on the radio. So how did you guys kind of decide to do that, and how did you kind of work through that process?
Yeah, that's something I'm really proud of. I think we had every single candidate for Mobile in Baldwin County, except for one. We missed the license commissioner. But this is pretty similar to what we would have done without COVID, which is just invite them to talk in person. But what was really great about doing it on Facebook Live was that we had the interaction from the community and could facilitate asking those questions. And it just really allowed for a space to people to, you know, understand what the role of your revenue commissioner is, or what are the jobs of the county commissioner? And so really focusing on those different things. I was really proud of that effort and really grateful to all of the representatives who came and spoke to us for about an hour on a weeknight. And so,
yeah, you guys did you did a bang up job there. And I just want to double click on the fact that you were able to get in some folks that people don't normally hear from all the time. And it's that education that I think does a service, regardless of how anybody votes, but just understanding what the positions are and how they ultimately end up serving the community.
And it's honestly great for me, too, because it makes me, I'm like, okay, I need to learn every single thing that a revenue commissioner has to think about and, like, what are the things that they have to decide on, because local officials are so important and they are the people mm-hmm. that are really impacting everybody's day-to-day lives, but they're the hardest to find information about. So it's like
exactly
trying to
right.
close that gap between people who are really impacting your life as you know it.
Okay.
And
well, let me
the news media.
Oh, absolutely. So did you have an opportunity to listen to any of the first half of the show?
I did, and I really appreciated what Representative Bracey explaining the whole process, talking about that. I totally agree with him, by the way, about the Bay Bridge. I remember that amendment about mm-hmm. having it being paid for by out-of-state or non-local people. I'm very on board with that. So we'll see if that happens in the future. But.
Yeah, I'm still cracking up to myself about our text exchange, and you said that you didn't have a radio. So is
I don't have a radio.
Is that not a thing with you young Democrats? Y'all don't have radios anymore. You're doing everything over the internet.
No, I don't think we do. I mean, I don't have cable. Granted, I didn't even grow up having cable, so it's like not really a change for me. But
okay.
We don't even have like the basic channels. We just do everything via internet stream.
Do everything online, right? Okay. So hey, here's really where I wanted to start to tap into your perspective. I know. One of the things that we often struggle with from a societal standpoint, and this isn't even party specific, but it's this generations, right? Where one generation may have one perspective on something and another generation may have a different perspective on something. And I just kind of wanted to tap into and kind of get your perspective on the issues of the day. So how are y'all as a group collectively feeling about, you know, COVID and what we as a society are doing in order to respond to that?
That's a great question. I think for our group, there's particular challenges because, one, young people, you know, we have – most people are working, mm-hmm. in the age group, so having to go to jobs, like even myself, like I don't have to go in very often, but I do have to go to my site every once in a while.
Right.
And then we also – the other issue is that we are very fortunately not as susceptible to some of the more harmful consequences, but
okay.
you kind of have to – be even more cautious because my like biggest fear is like getting somebody who sick by accident, right? Because maybe I'm asymptomatic and stuff
right.
like that. And I think that's a really difficult challenge, especially since the impacts are not necessarily personal for a lot of people. It's
right.
you have to kind of think about the impact of your community.
Mm-hmm.
And then you obviously have, well, you know, people still want to go out and stuff like that. But I think there's been some maybe misplaced judgment on like young people going to bars because there's plenty of other activities that older folks have also been participating in but doesn't maybe get as much spotlight. Although,
well, so you know it's
for
just
everybody
easier
out there,
it's just
I would
easier
not
to blame
going to bars and restaurants right now.
I was going to say it's just easier to blame it all on the young people, but I understand
know.
Exactly where you're coming from because there are plenty of activities where folks are a little too compact and not necessarily physically distancing that are not, you know, limited obviously to a younger age group.
Right.
So
actually on this topic, sorry, I'll
sure.
do a quick plug. We actually are doing a vaccine town hall and
wow.
it's going to be really good. The Mobile Health Department's going to be there. We have a couple of medical health professionals and that's going to be on February 20th. So everybody should tune into our Facebook page. And if you have any questions about, okay, how is Mobile County doing the vaccine rollout? How does the vaccine work? What are the safety stuff? And I think this is really important for specific, we're partnering with some other organizations and particularly kind of focusing on Black young people because that's a really underserved community in the healthcare space. So little plug, everybody should tune in February 20th.
Sure.
What time?
We haven't decided time, probably around 2 o'clock.
Okay, we'll
It'll
just follow the page. Okay, cool.
Cool. So we have about 2 minutes left before we go to the break. With that segue, one of the other headlines that I did at the top of the show was talking about mental health. And I know the way that Tuscaloosa presented it was basically a redirecting of some dollars that were in traditional law enforcement that were focused a little bit more on, you know, the mental health community. Do y'all as the Bay Area Young Democrats have a perspective on that redirecting of some of the law enforcement funds that you'd like to share?
I mean, I think that's great. I think mental health is, I mean, it's kind of like when we talk about, there was all those protests over the summer and a lot of discussion about what is the role of our police force. And I think everybody can agree that the police have a lot of jobs on their plate, right? They're taking care of traffic stops. They're taking care of domestic abuse, violence cases, right? They're taking care of mental health issues. And maybe in all these, we want to take things off their plates, right? We want them to be really good at the jobs that they need to be doing to keep our community safe. So I think directing funds to mental health is a great way to continue to do that. Having people who are specifically trained to deal with mental health crises just only makes our community safer and take care of both people who have mental health issues and also making sure that, you know, police can focus on the jobs that are most important to them.
Mm-hmm. And it was interesting, even tying to what Representative Bracey was talking about with the security issues that are happening at the state capitol now because of threats of unrest pretty much at the federal level. You could see how anytime you make a decision to do that, you're going to have resources in order to support it. So you can still be a consistent and enthusiastic supporter of law enforcement, but still want a certain amount of resources to be focused on issues like mental health so that they don't end up having to spend time focusing on that as opposed to investigating more traditional crimes. So definitely interesting there.
And I think one thing just, sorry, I know you have to go soon, but for the
30 seconds.
Police issues in general, like having more data and just understand, because the problem is it's really hard to tell which policies are more effective than other policies because we don't have the data on various activities that police do. So more money into those types of activities so we can then figure out the policies that work the best to keep everybody safe and have their rights.
I actually want to continue that conversation on the other side of the break. Do you have a few more minutes to stay with us?
Sure, I'd love to talk about it some more.
Okay, just hold on. And for the listening audience, we're going to go into our last break of the show. So give us 2 minutes and we will be back on the other side. You're listening to Kennedy for Alabama.
Welcome back to Kennedy for Alabama. Now let's have a real conversation about what's going on in our Alabama communities. Lines are open at 251-343-0106. Once again, your host, Robert Kennedy Jr.
And welcome back to the final segment of the final episode of Season 3 of Kennedy for Alabama. So we are actually going to go back to the phone lines here. And Zori, are you still on?
Yep.
Okay.
Here.
Hold on 1 second. I'm going to take another call. So just hold on and listen to the call. So hold on. Hello. You're on with Kennedy for Alabama.
Hi. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. How are you holding up?
Well, pretty good. I want to know if I can get a copy of the website that we need to go to for the Bay Area Democrats and if there's age limits, restrictions, or how they do that, and just get some information about that.
Sure, sure. I will ask Zoe to get that information when I go back on the line. Thank you for calling in.
Yes, sir.
All right. So, Zoe, did you hear that question that just came through?
I did.
All right.
The best way to get information about our organization is to follow either our Facebook page or Instagram page, and it's Bay Area Young Dems at either of those sites, and that's where all of our information is posted out. And you're also welcome to email us at bayareayoungdems@gmail.com. If you have any questions or anything you want to talk about, always happy to hear from people.
All right. Well, thank you for that. So before we went into the break, you were talking a little bit about the measures and the metrics and the data to understand what's actually happening. And I think that's perfectly appropriate, given that you are an engineer by training. So kind of tell us more. Where were you kind of going with that whole thought process?
Well, like, we should know the information about how our department's doing, how many people receive complaints every year, what were the different, how many reprimands, like, different types of responses to those complaints were based on the police department, obviously, like, how many times use of force was applied. And these things should be available to the public so that way we can hold our various police departments accountable. I mean, we want them to keep us safe, and I think we can all agree that we don't want our police department killing our citizens, and we should be taking measures to prevent that as much as possible. I think more transparency, and I think it's great. We actually had a petition this year to release the police manual, and that ended up being successful in Mobile. So,
and those were
very happy about that.
Those were young people who were driving that initiative, if memory serves me correctly. Is that correct?
Yep. So we did one petition. We also worked a little bit with the, I believe it was the Mobile For Us group and some of the other local groups to pressure the police department to reach that. And I think that's great. I mean, I think there are still things that can be, you know, making it more readable and so that way people understand what's in this like dense legal document.
Right.
But that's certainly a good step. But you can't change things for the better if you don't measure it, right? Because you have no idea if any of your policies are making an impact. So that's why I think, you know, data collection on and those type of talks that I mentioned earlier are important.
And I was going to say, that's one of the things that I mention quite often when I talk about issues of public policy, is that any policy should have a goal. It should have success criteria that can be measured. And then there should be evaluation timeframes where you go back and determine whether or not you're making your way towards the goal you establish based upon the key performance indicators that tell you whether or not you're moving in the right direction. And if we had more things that kind of use that relatively simple format in order to structure and evaluate, then you can say, okay, we're moving in the right direction, so do more of that, or we're moving in the wrong direction, so don't do more of that, do something different. And I think go ahead.
Exactly. Oh, I was just saying, we want to minimize use of force. Well, we should know how often use of force happens. How can we know if body cams, you know, make police officers think twice about using unnecessary force unless we know how often unnecessary force happens, right?
So, Absolutely. Example. And so I wanted to shout out both Chief Batiste in Mobile and Chief Knight in Pritchard. I've had this conversation with both of them personally, and whenever I've reached out to them to talk about any one of the number of the issues of the day, they've always been willing to take my phone call and answer my questions. So I know they're moving in the right direction, and I think what you guys did was absolutely fantastic in terms of doing something positive, asking for something concrete, and then putting your effort and your energy around that that concrete ask until it was delivered. So, so bravo.
Yeah, I mean, I think for me personally, I think it's just way more effective to rally around very concrete, exactly the same, concrete ass, because, you know, our legislators, officials, they're human beings too, right? They're trying to do their best and they want to make people happy. But if you don't give them the things that you want, right, it's hard to come into the middle. And so we're just kind of arguing about nebulous topics and we never actually make things better for people, right? We want people to be better in our communities, less people in prisons. Like, those are the types of things that make real impacts on people's lives.
Oh, absolutely. Because if you have less people in prison, particularly the ones that aren't, you know, needing to be there because of truly violent natures, then you have more people who are productive in society, more dollars for the tax base, and then you can do things that are not related to law enforcement.
Exactly.
Okay, well, thank you so much for spending a little bit of time with us this evening. Take one more opportunity to let everybody know, if they want to get in contact with you or learn more about the Bay Area Young Democrats, where they should go.
All right, last plug. You can find information on Bay Area Young Dems on Facebook. We have a page. Follow us, and you'll just get every single time we post about anything. Also, Instagram is another place that we post our information, and can reach out to us at bayareayoungdems@gmail.com. We have our vaccine forum town hall February 20th, and we will also be doing a Black History Month celebration starting February 1st. So be on the lookout for information for that.
Okay. Well, thanks a lot, Zoe. You take care of yourself. Be careful. Stay safe. And we'll look forward to talking to you soon.
You as well. Goodbye. Good night.
Bye,
good night.
Zoe. Thank you.
Bye.
So we are coming to the end of Season 3 of Kennedy for Alabama. We're actually going to go to the text line right now. We had a couple of texts coming through. The first one that came through was from Doug. And Doug was asking the question that I've heard quite often, which is, why can't y'all do anything about Pritchard Water? And Doug, there can be an entire show in and of itself talking about the relationship between Pritchard Water and the city of Pritchard. We definitely know there are some opportunities to improve, to say the least. so that the citizens ultimately get a better level of service tomorrow than they are getting today. Unfortunately, we won't be able to dig too deep into that topic, but understand that's something that we do need to talk about more. The next text message came through, and it was asking, was there anything special in the area for Black History Month? And we know that it starts here on the 1st of February, and there are going to be a lot of activities. Aquilin, did you have anything that that you saw while you're looking over the internet there?
Yeah, well, I mean, there's certainly, I mean, there's some things that are always available, and I think the best time to do them is starting at least in Black History Month, like the Dora Frankly Finley African American Trail. There are also other events happening with NAACP. If you look at the NAACP's mobile page, you'll see some information on our Founders Day celebration and a couple other things as well, like HIV testing. So take a look.
All right. Well, with that, we have come to the end of our episode. Thank you to the FM Talk, FM 106.5 listening audience for giving us this opportunity to share our thoughts with you every week. We will be back with season four. Those dates and times will be announced here in the weeks and months to come. Until then, you guys take care of yourselves, be good, and continue to stay involved in the political process. Until then, my name is Robert Kennedy Jr., and this is Kennedy for Alabama.